This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. My website contains this program as well as a weekly meditation that you might be interested in. You can contact me through the website or through my regular mailing address. So if you want to write those addresses down, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out, and I'll give you the addresses at the close of the program. Now today we want to continue to look at this matter of worship. Last time we spent some time with Abraham in Genesis 22, who was asked to offer his son Isaac, his only, his unique son, upon an altar in Mount Moriah. And while this was an unusual request, Abraham was willing to be obedient. We found out that the Lord was able to find a substitute for Isaac, a ram caught in a thicket. But nevertheless, Abraham did this expecting that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, because he not only believed God that he was going to have offspring through Isaac and that Isaac was going to be his promised seed, but he believed God that he would be able to raise Isaac from the dead if he wanted Isaac offered on that altar. So this was an example of a man who trusted in the Lord, trusted in Jehovah, and who was willing to show it by immediately being obedient to the command of God to offer his son upon that altar in Mount Moriah. And of course, when we look at this matter of worship, I've said before, it's easy to see people who are worshiping, and it's easy to see what they are worshiping. Sometimes it's easier to see it than to define it. But worship, of course, is often associated with music today, but in the Bible, it's probably more closely associated with obedience. And so we don't worship the Lord until we have first trusted in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so worship starts with coming to an understanding of who the Lord is, and then the Lord wants our undivided loyalty. He does not want us to worship idols, and he does not want us to worship images. He wants us to worship him alone. Thou shalt have, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, when we look at this matter of worship in the Old Testament, it was often associated with an altar. And an altar is a place where a sacrifice is offered to God. And in the Old Testament, we see the first altar, as near as I can tell, after the flood when Noah built an altar. We read about that in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. After the flood, it says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So Noah had been spared from the flood. The flood is a picture, no doubt, of coming tribulation on the children of Israel, but it was a real flood that lasted for about a year. We know that it was 40 days and 40 nights that it rained, and that the waters came up and it came up from the earth and came down from the heavens, and the waters covered the highest mountains at that time. And so we know that this flood was a very real thing. God had reached his limit with the rebellion of man on the earth. Up till then, their lifespans had been close to 1,000 years. And as he says, after the flood, the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually from his youth. And so God had seen the violence in the earth. He had seen the bloodshed. He had seen the fact that man was getting worse and worse, not better and better. And he said, I've had enough. And he destroyed the earth and he saved one faithful man. That was the man Noah, who really was worshiping by obeying God and building that ark, building it on dry ground, because there had never been rain up until the time he built the ark. And then he himself went into the ark with his family, and it is from Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives that the earth was repopulated. But Noah was a worshiper of Jehovah. We read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and while there can be a number of interpretations given to that, I just simply think it means that there was a day when Noah realized who God was and trusted him. And it could be said of him just as it could be said of us today, for by grace are you saved through faith. Noah was a sinner, and yet Noah had a heart for God. He trusted him, and now he shows it by building an altar and offering animal sacrifice on that altar, and God thought it smelled great. And so that is one of the first altars we see in the New Testament. We've been looking at Abraham. Abraham is often looked at as a man who built altars. And we begin reading about that in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. Again, this is after the flood. Abraham had been called out of Babylon, really, and he'd gotten as far as Syria, and he stayed there until his father died, and now he's being called by the Lord into the promised land, a land that will ultimately be given to him and to his descendants. And in Genesis 12 and verse 4, we read, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the place of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south. Now on that day, the head of the family, the patriarch of the family, was also the priest of the family. And so Abraham built these altars as places of worship. And we can see that he was one who did trust in the Lord, did worship the Lord, and did respond to the call of the Lord. Now Abraham had problems in his life. We know that on two occasions he left the land when likely he shouldn't have, avoiding famine and problems in the land. But nevertheless, while he had issues and problems, he never had any God other than the Lord. He never turned aside to worship other gods. And so he was a man of the altars. And on those altars, he offered sacrifices to the Lord. And I think we can see clearly that altars and the sacrifices that he offered never saved him. They were means of worshiping because, if we use New Testament terminology, he was saved. We find out later on that the children of Israel, they offered on altars and they did all kinds of ceremonies. And the Lord says, I hate it. It stinks because your heart isn't right with me. And he says, I have raised up children and they have rebelled against me. And he hated their festival days, their new moons and their Sabbaths and their sacrifices. And so a sacrifice was only meaningful when the heart was right. And we need to understand that, because even we need to have our hearts right. Many people today think they're offering sacrifices when they take the Lord's Supper, but they think the sacrifice is going to save them, when in fact you offer that sacrifice because you're saved, not in order to get saved. And so when we take communion, we are remembering the Lord because we love him and because we know he has died for us. Now we come to Hebrews 13, to another altar, and I want to read that to you because this is the New Testament altar where we who are Christians worship. And it says in Hebrews 13, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle." Now, there had been elaborate altars made for the tabernacle. There was an altar that was called the brazen altar, where the burnt offerings were offered, and that altar was built according to God's specifications, and the Levites offered the sacrifices there. But then when we come to the temple, very similar altars were built, more ornate perhaps and more expensive perhaps, but nevertheless they were built, and they were means again for the faithful to worship the Lord. But it says, "We now have a right to eat of a tabernacle, of an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle," that Old Testament tent. "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, that is, to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now we who are saved, we also can offer at an altar, but it's a spiritual altar, and it's an altar that was outside the gate." It's interesting that Jerusalem is the city that is prominent in the news today, and it will be prominent during the millennium, and it is a city that the Lord loves, but the people of that city have not turned to the Lord to worship him, and it was at that city that they took the Lord and tried him and found him as guilty as though he were a criminal and an impostor. And then they took him outside the city gates and they crucified him. He was crucified outside the camp of the religious system of the day. And religion today does not solve our problems. Religion today is not the way to worship the Lord. Religion is a system of ordinances and commands and burdens, but the Lord has given us freedom. He's given us the freedom to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we can do that with praise, and we can do that by doing good, and we do that by coming to him and believing on him and trusting him and realizing that he's the answer and he's the fulfillment of all those Old Testament sacrifices. He has suffered at Calvary, where we see our altar. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and trust that you will remember those who have listened, and whatever their needs are, that you will meet them. We commit ourselves into your care. Thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.